a public service announcement. And number two, you have the right.
The federal government announced this week a miserly $3.25 per day increase to the JobSeeker payment after many, many decades of no increase at all.
Not only is the amount far from sufficient for people to survive, but also the government, as it tends to do with anything regarding welfare, released also a new series of further punitive measures regarding JobSeeker recipients. So requirements for people on JobSeeker to prove that they've applied for 20 jobs per pay period in a period where jobs are very scarce to find. And regarding the mention of punitive measures by the government every time they make reforms to welfare, ongoingly on Over the Wall, we've been covering the cashless welfare card, which is a story that continues to burn and make people suffer in remote rural regions. And very frustratingly, listeners, continues to escape the attention of mainstream media and people in the big cities. The government is doing it by stealth, introducing the cashless welfare card into remote rural regions, particularly regions with high First Nations peoples populations, and people in the cities are remaining largely oblivious to the impacts this card is having upon people's ability to manage income, the decrease in their ability to actually show any credit rating because 80% of their income is quarantined and not recognised by banks. We've been reporting on this issue now for a number of years, and one of the main people we've spoken to is Catherine Wilkes from the Say No to the Cashless Welfare Card campaign. We began this week by speaking to Catherine about the ongoing trial legislation that was passed last year and a report by Adelaide University that was not released by Senator Rustin in time for Parliament senators to consider the impacts that were shown in this Adelaide University report on welfare recipients getting the cashless welfare card. Let's speak to Catherine Wilkes now and ask her about this situation regarding the cashless welfare card.
The federal government did not succeed late last year in passing legislation to make the cashless welfare card permanent, but they did get a vote through the Senate to continue the ongoing so-called trials of the cashless welfare card in the trial areas for another couple of years. And what has been the response of people impacted by the cashless welfare card to this continuation of the trials?
I know that it devastated a lot of the people that I deal with, because a lot of them tuned in to watch that vote that night on our Facebook page. We streamed it. Then to see Sterling Griff not show up in the chamber. In fact, he left the building so that he didn't have to vote, which gave the government the vote to allow it to continue. I think that was the biggest betrayal from Centre Alliance, considering that for the last 2 years they've been telling people they would not vote this legislation through without the Adelaide University evaluation. It was part of their deal that they wouldn't vote on it without the evaluation being there to see. And Rustin wasn't releasing that report. It only got released this week. If it had been released back then when it was supposed to have, there's no way that they could have voted this to continue. Absolute failure. And it's just cruel to keep this going on and on and on. And now they'll use any leverage they can to try and get First Nations people off their basics cards and onto cashless debit card, but through the NT provider, which will be the NT Credit Union, not Indu, right? Because they've already signed the contracts. And they admitted they'd already signed the contracts prior to that vote. They said that in the Senate. They'd already signed up the contracts.
Signed contracts for a couple of years.
No. Yeah. Yeah. With the NT Credit Union to be the provider of the card in the Northern Territory. The deal was done the day beforehand with Centre Alliance. And the result is now that people feel defeated. The morale, it really knocks the wind out of people, knowing that another 2 years of this, and it's cruel, it really is. But this whole system is punitive and cruel. as we can see now, the job agencies and now this pitiful $3.25 that they increase, and the job agencies will have more power to cut people off more. It's the whole system is broken, punitive and cruel. But the mutual obligations that they're talking about, they're handing all the power to the job agencies, right? So the job agencies can choose this intense training, and if the kids can't get there or they don't show up for something, bang, they get cut off. You know, it's just handing more power to the private sector that the government is shirking their responsibility. By handing over the powers that government is supposed to be in charge of to the private sector for profit, right? This should be illegal for a start. I mean, why should these private investors have all this power over people to decide whether someone eats or doesn't? That's how much power they've got. They decided if you're 5 minutes late because your bus got in late, or you didn't even have money for a bus and you couldn't get there, or you're in hospital or something like that, they can cut you off. They can make you homeless. They can make you starve.
We're talking about the job agencies, and huge amounts of money are pouring into those job agencies for decades.
They shouldn't have the control over people's payments. That was always a Centrelink issue, and it shouldn't be up to the job agencies. It should always remain under protections of our laws, under the Social Security Act with Centrelink. You know, because these people aren't protected by the Social Security Act when all the power is handed to these private entities. This is one of the issues with the cashless debit card. The people on the card are exempted from the protections of payments under the Social Security Act, and anybody on a card is exempted from that protection under law to suit the private company of Indu, and they're not responsible for anything if they stuff anything up and cause somebody damages, financial loss. It's up to the discretionary person at the counter that you see. It's their personal decision if they want to cut you off.
At the job agency.
That's right. It's the person on the other end of the phone, the Indu, who decides, no, we don't want you spending that money, right, on something that's quite legitimate, but that person decides you can't afford that, or no, we don't want you to spend all your money on that, or go and get Afterpay or ZipPay and then you can pay it off on there. We're not going to release your funds, but we'll run you into more debt. We'll approve you to go into more debt. You know what I mean? And then we'll use it against you, because Afterpay and ZipPay have a negative reaction on your credit ratings and are seen as you not being able to manage your funds because you're making use of a lender to pay it, you know, get it now, pay it later.
What has been the ongoing situation with surcharges and extra costs related to the Indu?
People will still be copping their surcharges from when they use the card, because there's always surcharges on cards, on all cards, right? See, Indu doesn't charge a surcharge on their account, right? But Visa is the provider, and Visa still charges all of its normal charges that all Visa card holders get charged. When you use a Visa debit card, depending on the business, you will incur those sort of fees. And Indu makes it very clear they are not responsible for the third-party fees charged by somebody like BPAY and that sort of thing, or your bank, if they do allow a transfer of funds above what you're allowed per month, right? Your bank will charge you $10 for receiving that money because it's coming from outside the banking sector.
And to put that into financial terms, we've heard many stories for people on, say, JobSeeker who are making decisions that they just can't simply afford to buy things like vegetables because that extra $20, $30 they just haven't got. So when you put these surcharges in, that's the reality. It's for people who are making decisions about what not to buy because they can't afford essentials. It's taking even more money away from them.
Every region, people are locked out of the markets. So, for instance, Ceduna has a little weekly market that sells fresh bread, jams and spreads and fruit and vegetables. People on the cashless debit card can't go there. So they go to the supermarket and they have to buy more processed foods, and they pay more for their food at the supermarket, $5 for a loaf of bread and things like that. You know what I mean? Whereas they might get a fresh baked loaf of bread at that market for $1. They get access to fruit and veg that's good quality and fresh, locally produced, not shipped in frozen supermarket stuff from the wholesaler in Adelaide. You've got the same situation up here where you've got fruit and veg sellers selling stuff as an example. This is just an example. Say something that the fruit and fresh seller is selling for $2 a kilo, but Coles will be selling it for $12 a kilo. But the person has to go to Coles to buy it. It's not as fresh because it's been in cold storage and been carted all over the country, but they can't buy from the local farmer and get the fresher product cheaper where they would normally save money. So every which way they go to save money and get as much out of their dollar as they used to be able to do, they can't. They just can't do it because they're forced to spend more money.
And to put that in context, listeners, the Indue card cannot be used at many retailers, particularly small retailers like farmers markets. They have to register specially to be able to use the Indue card, those retailers, and many don't. So consumers are forced into the hands of spending their money with and for the big corporations.
We've got events coming up in March. So March the 18th at Toowong at Indue at 9:30 in the morning. If anybody is in Brisbane, be there. We're having a protest and a rally outside Indu. And then there may be another rally after that outside Serena Rosso as well. I'll be in Canberra on Tuesday, March the 16th. We'll do a rally and a doorstop that with a whole heap of other groups, Living Incomes for Everyone, AUWU, Get Up, and a whole heap of other groups taking part in that as well. Plus, throughout that week of the 15th to the 19th, there'll be a lot of online activities across all the other groups regarding the punitive system, the parents next, the low pay rate, you know, raise the rate, the cashless debit card, the works.
Check out Say No to the Cashless Welfare Card.
Yeah, we've tweaked the name. It's just No Cashless Debit Card Australia.
Check out that site to find out about those events. And thank you very much for keeping up the struggle.
No Cashless Debit Card Australia. No worries. All right. Thanks, mate.
Thanks again to Catherine Wilkes for speaking on Over the Wall. And we'll have the second part of Catherine's interview next week.